We're about to find out what Megan's made of, Jason. Like, I don't, she won't have this. She's not going to let this go down. There's no chance.
If she's worth her salt in the way I think she is.
I think she is.
This case is as good as closed.
Like, yeah, I'm not getting into a tit for tat with this fella. She'll sort us out. She'll either sort us out or we're about to be, it's going to be like when you find out the Easter Bunny is not real.
Hmm. And we won't litigate it on the podcast because that's...
No, we won't throw her under the bus, but I have to say, when she comes good, I'm going to be declaring it on the podcast.
All right, very good. Welcome back to Soccer Card United. It's episode 218 of the greatest soccer card podcast in the world. My name is Jason, that's Enzo. Hi, Enzo.
Hello, Jason.
How are you?
I'm feeling good. We had a small bit of audio difficulty last episode, a bit of an echo, small echo. We were trying to get to the bottom of it. And I believe, based on what my headphones are giving me now, Jason, it's done. Yeah. We nipped it in the bud. We fixed it.
If the show sounds as good in other people's ears as it currently sounds in your ears, we'd be flying.
Unbelievable. We'd be flying to the top of the Mount Rushmore of podcasts. Us, Joe Rogan, and a few others.
Mm-hmm. Great. I tell you what, it's kind of a, I would describe it as a casual show today. Not a huge amount of hobby news to cover. We're not quite into the very, very thick of hobby season yet, where we're going to be having, you know, your Donruss's, your Selects, your Topps Chrome, your Topps Finest, all this stuff coming out, your Euro 2024 stuff and all that. So we're just going to kind of have, I'd say, a few kind of fun stories today.
Oh, I'm hoping so, yeah.
And the first one is actually about Euro 2024, but it's the sticker thing. So we've talked previously about the Euro 2024 stickers coming out, and the general public in Europe, and specifically the UK, where we're seeing a lot of the media coverage, discovering that Topps and Fanatics have taken over the hobby and wrestled control of the European Championships license from Panini, and reacting, I would say, some people reacting poorly, so mostly just kind of with like bewilderment. Like, I didn't realize this was an active question.
Yeah, people, basically, we're seeing that there's a huge base of sticker collectors out there that have collected every major tournament, have collected the stickers, collected the album. It is a cultural phenomenon, which we've always known in Europe. What we didn't know is that, maybe we didn't know, is that during this hobby boom of this changing of the guard, of this new era of hobby that has entered Europe, that you know, people have been at the forefront of coverage.
Yeah.
A lot of these sticker people, casuals, you could call them, although they are very hardcore in their own right, they're not involved. They're waiting for the next tournament and they don't know nothing about nothing. Their head has been in the sand. They have been living their own life, but what they know for a fact is every 4 years on a cycle with the World Cup, every 4 years on a cycle with the Euros, they know. Is the Euros every 2 years or every 4 years?
Every 4 years.
Every 4 years, yeah. Jesus, 2024. Jesus. My goodness. What I'm saying is, but they know that a sticker album, Panini, Panini make a sticker album and they start buying it and sticking stuff in and that's it. That's all they need to know. They don't know what's going on in the background. And now it's sticker album time. They're seeing top sticker albums and they are utterly befuddled.
Yeah. So there's a couple of things to talk about here. So I'll just show you if you type in to Google today on Google in the UK and in Ireland, I've just typed in Panini stickers into the search bar.
I'm following
and gone to Google News. And I have The Guardian, The Mirror, The Mail, The Telegraph, MSN, The Times, The Express, Nation Cymru, The Welsh Paper.
This is
all in the last few days or last few hours talking about the sticker debacle.
UEFA in Panini farce. As England, Joe Foden and Saka left out with Euro 24 sticker album.
Yeah. Just looking at like some of these headlines, here's one from the Mirror. Panini versus Topps in battle of Euro 2024 sticker albums that could cost parents £1,000.
Do you know what? Look at Jose Mourinho being used as the poster child. It's shocking. Like, you know, poor Jose.
Yeah, poor Jose. This is from, look, the chief reporter of the Mirror is on this. Andy Lyons, the chief reporter.
He had to get on the case.
One of the biggest clashes of Euro 2024 will be off the pitch in the battle of the sticker albums. Panini has been replaced by Topps as the official publisher of the collection. The Italian giant has been making stickers for the tournament since Euro 1976 in Yugoslavia.
Yugoslavia doesn't even exist anymore.
I know.
That's what you call heritage. Jesus Christ, they are shook.
but it has lost its contract to American upstart, which was bought by rival sportswear by bought out by sportswear firm Fanatics in 2022. And it is turning into a bitter rivalry with England stars appearing in both albums. This means mums and dads could be forced to fork out to buy both as young football fans clamor to get their stickers of their favorite football heroes. One statistician. you can't count to 1,000 without the help of a registered statistician. That the two could cost up to £1,000. The battle has already led to a chaotic and complex legal situation, both rivals having different image rights to certain players and countries. Wow.
That's funny. Like, that £1,000 is definitely, like, the statistician came in with the odds, with everything, to actually go, if you wanted to complete the album via buying packets and you had to hit all the cards, what is the most amount of money that it would cost to get that done? And they came out. One. Like, you do need a statistician for that, Jason, let me tell you. To really, it's not counting up to 1,000. It's saying, what if you just kept not getting what you want to get? Although I don't really understand how that's works.
But that even seems like that number is too low in that case.
Yeah, because like you could, you know, they haven't seen the QC that you get over here. Like, you're going to get a lot of dupes.
Yeah.
Shocking.
No, so the statistician is not a top statistician as far as I'm concerned. Yeah.
And wait until he finds out about the parallels, this statistician.
Oh yeah, he's gonna burst a vein. Panini holds the official license to England, France, Germany, and Italy, and has responded to being ditched by UEFA by bringing out its England 2024 Tournament Edition album. It features all four nations plus Spain. Only Panini has rights to show the quartet stars in their kits, meaning Topps can only use headshots for them for its album. Experts said it means neither album is fully complete as a result. Sticker superfan Blazy. Oh.
Can I just say, experts said it means neither album is fully complete as a result. They're saying, listen. This is not, you can't even complete the album, either of them.
Yeah. The album is uncompletable.
Wow. I'd love to meet the experts, Jason.
So sticker superfan Blazy, who hosts the YouTube channel Blazy Collect, said, both manufacturers have dropped the ball on this one, which is really disappointing. This should be the most exciting time of the year for collecting. You've got your albums, you're excited to get it complete. In addition, the top album was printed before the Euro playoffs finishes, so it includes Wales, who were knocked out on penalties by Poland. It also inexplicably does not feature England and Man City stars John Stones and Phil Foden, but Leicester left-back Luke Thomas weirdly appears, despite having never won a full cap for England.
Oh my goodness. I love it, to be honest. I love the advertisement of the hobby that's happening here, because there is like this is an advertisement. This is like just a casual being like, all of that that's going on in the courtrooms and all that is actually like, what's going on? You know, what's happening?
Yeah.
And I love that like John Stones and Phil Foden that like broke the camel's back here.
Yeah, they're like, okay, keep Saka and Foden out of it, but do not leave John Stones out of it. Topps has gone full out to win bid, win over fans, including calling former Chelsea boss Jose Mourinho to be its sticker manager and endorsing its fledgling product. Without any quote-unquote doubles or swaps, filling the Panini album would cost £70, and for Topps should have to invest at least £122 in it.
Right.
Panini will take some solace in the fact that it retains the rights to the FIFA World Cup and therefore will produce the official album for the 2026 edition. Meanwhile, Topps is contracted to produce album for the 2024 and 2028 Euros, next summer's Women's Euros and the Nations League finals through 2028. I did not know when Topps' agreement with UEFA ran out.
Yeah.
So this is, I'm glad I read that.
Yeah, good information. 2028 Men's Euros, next summer's Women's Euros. And the Nations League, is that the men's or the women's?
I presume that's the men's Nations League.
Yeah, because they had that kind of product that was meant to come out. Interesting.
Interesting stuff.
It's fascinating that... it's been really picked up. Like, have these just start properly hitting the shelves? Is that what we're really seeing here?
I think so. I think they've started hitting the shelves and people are going out and getting them and then looking at them and going, hang on a second.
What's going on?
What's going on?
Panini.
Yeah,
yeah. And then at that point is when they realized they knew what Panini was. Because I do feel like a lot of the people that they just get the album and it's like, you don't think about it.
Yeah.
Like, it's the Premier League. It's not the Barclays Premier League or whatever back in the day. You know, it's kind of like, now they're like, wait a minute, Panini, Topps, these are a different company. And then they start to kind of unravel and discover what's been happening in the last 50 years.
Yeah, I think it's for us, like where we stand as soccer card collectors and as, you know, show promoters here in Ireland and a number of different things, is like, you want as many of these terms being thrown around.
Yeah.
as possible.
Do you think Jose throws toys out of the pram over this? Do you think he's just used to the controversy and he doesn't really care?
I think Jose loves it.
He loves it.
Yeah.
He's going, the mirror, back at me again. I'm not even in the Premier League. Look at this.
I prefer not to stick. If I stick, I am in big trouble.
Oh my God. No swaps.
By the way, just to counter a lot of these so-called casuals arguments.
Mm.
Don't know if people know this, but in 1995, the Topps company acquired Merlin Publishing, which was a famous sticker manufacturer, as we know, and card manufacturer. And in 1996, for the Euros in England, they produced a official England sticker album.
Didn't they?
So if you have a look at this one, this is actually UEFA Euro 96 official sticker album. So they do have some form in this.
They have heritage.
Because look at that. That's a Euro 96 officially licensed product.
I see.
So if you count Topps and their subsidiaries, this is not their first Euro sticker album.
No, it's not their first rodeo. I think just Panini had such a stranglehold on it for so long that I think it is tough. It's change. People are not used to it.
And speaking of change, another interesting feature is we talked about in 2022 when Panini decided to put parallels in their stickers for the World Cup, but only for the US. Our main thing was, that's great, but why would you do that in the US where nobody cares about stickers but already knows what parallels are instead of doing it here?
They know what World Cup Prism is over there.
Yeah, so they're like, if you tell them there's a black 101 World Cup Prism, they're like, okay, why not do the parallels and the stickers here where we have kind of stuff to learn? Anyway, Topps are doing it here with Euro 2024.
That's wonderful.
And they put up this Instagram post, I presume this was released in a couple of different places, explaining how the base stickers worked.
Yeah, someone was saying that there's a Swiss edition, as there was with Panini albums. So I don't know if Switzerland, the country of Switzerland, what they have with UEFA.
They have the headquarters of UEFA and FIFA.
Yeah, but then they just tell the manufacturers, you have to do something special for us. Yeah. Fascinating. But basically, the gold 101, which thankfully is numbered on the front, I believe the Swiss version, there is a gold, but it's not numbered. So it's just something to be careful of.
If you're Swiss.
Yeah, you got to keep an eye on that 101 on the front.
But I like this in the
Luka Modric in the top sorry.
Post. Do not stick in the gold 101 if you find one. That's a Topps tip. That runs counter to sticker culture.
I'm what Panini did. Panini didn't say nothing.
Yeah.
Panini was kind of like the fun of seeing someone stick it in and just lose their fucking shirt. The jeopardy of it.
Exactly, yeah. Someone commented, what's the gold 101? So this is kind of like an experiment to see how these concepts translate into the general public. What's the gold 101? Someone says, one of a kind. Okay, thanks. What's it look like? They're DMing. Okay, fine.
I'll DM you.
It's in the post. This should be something fun for kids, not premium collectors and breakers, man, with 8 parallels and stuff. Overly complicated compared to Finiti's version.
Oh. I mean, for kids, it's already near impossible to complete 728 stickers. Adding parallels on top is too much, in my opinion. True.
Keep this American shy out of football sticker albums. Go to Panini and learn how to design sticker albums.
Did you say that, or was that a comment?
That's a comment. I didn't say that. I would never say that.
Making sure you're not an angry man. That's a stupid idea. Do it with cards, not with stickers. Kids just want to complete their albums. Why do you introduce useless parallels? Absolute no-go. But it's like, what does this negatively do? It does nothing. The stickers are still there. You can still complete your album, young man. Unless prices drive up and you can't get them, but like, that shouldn't happen. Like, there should be more than enough of this going around.
Yeah, I mean, if they can release most hobby sets without any price going up.
Oh dear.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's interesting because we kind of assume, we have this natural assumption as card collectors that if we could only communicate these things, you know, there's kind of an easy thing of kind of like, it's only a matter of education or it's only a matter of communication. Like, if we could just explain, then everyone would be converted.
Mm.
But then what we're seeing here is that that's not the case.
They're like, don't overcomplicate stickers. But at the same time, for me as a collector, as a, like a higher end kind of premium card, I love this for the stickers. I think it's great.
But here's the thing. Does it make you collect stickers?
No. Although, if I seen stickers out in the wild and I knew there's a chance at a parallel, I might pick up a pack and get part. You know, I might try to complete an album.
You might do, but...
Imagine if me and you battled it out to try and complete a Euro album first.
Yeah. I want that Jose deal.
Yeah, that's it.
I'll take whatever Jose got paid. No, but what I'm saying is like it is interesting, the positioning of this, because it doesn't necessarily make card collectors any more likely to get involved in stickers.
But I think the purpose of it is to try to get the sticker people to wonder what the hell a parallel is and then get involved in the cards.
I know, but what we're seeing here from this reaction on social media, in the media, is that they don't necessarily want to be involved.
No, I know, but I think that like by that first thing of like, what is the 101? Like that, like you might get like, let's say 80% of people are like, what the fuck is this shit? But then 20% are like, what's a hobby box? Let me buy one of them. Yes. Like, I think it's a success. Like, get over it. Do you know what I mean? Like, if you think of our card show, Jason, we forced a lot of people into that room that didn't know anything about high-end cards, and some of them probably said, what the fuck was that? And then some of them were like, what was that? I want to get involved. So like, that's what it seems like. You almost have to do that. Although people are getting mad about the 728 stickers. Someone says, and this is like, I think someone that's actually part of the hobby, 728 stickers is a joke. Countries being in the album that won't even be at the Euros is a joke. I don't know if they're this angry, but I'm going to presume they are. Not having arguably the biggest player of the whole tournament in the album is a joke. Parallels are stupid. That was just a standalone. Not numbering them 1 to 738 is annoying as fuck. The kit licensing issue make it look cheap, but I know it's a complicated topic.
That's someone who wants to criticize, but also be reasonable.
He's a reasonable critiquer. Although, if they're not numbered at the back one, that's not great. I don't know where he's seen how the numbering is set up, but not numbering it kind of 1 to 738 isn't fantastic. Or 728 is not fantastic.
So 728, do you want to know how much was in Panini's Euro 2020 stickers?
Oh, yes, I do. The tournament that didn't even take place in the end at the time. It took place a year later. How many?
654.
Right, so you're talking about very, very similar.
Exactly. You're talking about basically the same number of stickers.
Yeah. To be honest, that's it. I mean, I've seen people complain about the unlicensed England kits as if Panini had never done it. World Cup 2014 Prism. No,
well, obviously, England kits.
Sticker people are different. Yeah, they don't know about that. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know, Jason. I suppose it'd be interesting. Once it's properly out there, once the season kind of, the curtain closes on the season and we have that kind of buffer before the Euro starts, I'm assuming we're going to see a lot of sticker euphoria. I'm assuming the kids don't really care about whether it's a full kit or whether it's just a headshot. Like, they might not notice, although a lot of the kids...
No, they care more about the fact that they don't have their favorite players in the album. Yeah,
John Stone.
That's what they care about. Kylian Mbappe, is he in it?
Hey, I assume he's in it. I don't know though. Oh, no, he might not be. That'd be shocking.
Wasn't he left out or something?
Yeah, I think he might be. Like, I mean, he's definitely unlicensed, basically. But I think he might.
Euro's finest, I think he was left out.
Okay, yeah. Maybe he's just not allowed to be shown in a non-licensed kit. But then, doesn't Futera do that?
Oh, here we go. Look at this. By the way, I've just seen this kit scenes. You know, we have previous with the kit collectors.
Oh yeah.
And look at this, right? This is a reaction to the Topps Euro sticker album from Kit Scene Mag. Team selection aside, the biggest travesty here is that it's just faces and no kit, not one kit. I never considered that there were people buying the sticker albums to look at the kits.
Wait, what's his name?
Kit Scene.
Kit Scene. I want to try to just pull it up on my. Here we go. Oh, brilliant.
That's brilliant.
Not one kit. Yeah, that's fair. That is fair, though. That does look shocking. And I know that they had to do what they had to do. And to be honest, I think that's actually a decent, in the circumstances, that's a decent way of doing it. Do you know?
Yeah, that's
the headshot is better than the blank kit, is what I'm saying. Especially for stickers.
Yeah, I think we previously discussed on this that when we first saw the album, that you couldn't necessarily do the headshot on a card because the card's too big.
Yeah. Now, obviously, that does look shocking, ultimately. And, like, Topps know that themselves. Like, they are not happy about this, et cetera, et cetera. Because I assume, like, see the way it's just like the English flag. Like, I assume if you want to a license thing, it'll be the
FA.
Crest. The associated crest. Not fantastic. But at the same time, you have to do what you have to do. You have to get these sticker albums out. Obviously, Panini are fucked, and I'm sure the people at Fanatics are currently in talks with the English FA and everyone else to try it. Like, this could be a wonderful ploy to get these licenses. To go, look what's after happening here at the Euros. Because, like, England go on to win the tournament, this becomes an absolute travesty of an album.
No fair.
For the people that collect them all. They're like, well, the year we won it, look at the state of this for our team, you know.
But, well, I suppose, like, if you have a situation where it's definitely a future pub quiz question. What former Leicester left back appeared in the Euro 2024 sticker album for England, despite never having made a full cap?
Jason, I thought the quiz question was going to be what four teams or five teams, or whatever, were unlicensed in that album. You went straight for one of the hard. Like, you look at your quizzes. That's shocking. I never let you be the quiz master. That is absolutely shocking.
That's too harsh. Too straight.
Way too harsh. I was surprised you even said Leicester left back. I'm surprised you didn't say what player.
You don't think I should be the quiz master at the first Soccer United quiz?
No, thank you. No. I want someone to win the quiz.
I did this Soccer United, the game show.
Oh, brilliant. I have a question for you, Jason.
Yeah.
Do you think in 4 years' time, this will all be resolved?
I think one way or the other will be resolved.
Like, do you not think, and obviously they only have seemingly for two tournaments, but if Tops are saying to themselves internally, or Fanatics are saying, we want to be the large tournament sticker album makers from now on. We want that. We don't want Panini involved, right? Do you think this unintentional licensing thing is almost like a real passing of the guard and they're kind of coming through a blaze of fire? Like, they almost, if it just naturally swapped over, it was Tops and all the kits and everything was perfect and Disneyland-esque, exactly the way Panini had always done, etc., etc. Do you think it would be less of a noticeable thing that it's not Panini, now it's Tops, people would just kind of go along with it? Do you feel like now it's kind of in the mass public consciousness that Tops have taken over this thing, and if they can then get it right in 4 years' time, that it's just like, yeah, this is how we do it now? Or do you think people just have an association with that small company out in Modena, Italy?
I think if you're Tops, you kind of have to do it. You have to do it anyway, because like I said, in 1996, there was a Merlin officially licensed Euro sticker album. And it really is just a case of what age were you, what was the sticker album when you started collecting stickers? So for those young children that are getting, you know, Euro 2024 is their first major tournament for which they have a consciousness that are collecting the stickers, they're just going to accept Tops. You know, when Panini started making stickers in 1967 or whatever, people were collecting cigarette cards or stickers from other companies. So you're always going to, like, you always going to have to, I guess, aim in the kind of medium to long term and say, yeah, there's going to be some pushback from people who are nostalgic for Panini. But the sales of sticker albums, I guess, are not coming from adults who are nostalgic. They're coming from children.
Wow.
Or future customers, as I call them.
Oh, wow. That's how it's going to be. I mean, that makes sense. That's it. I think you're right. It's like what we've seen over the last X years is that when it's tournament time in soccer, people love to collect sticker albums and fill out the albums, and that's a tried and trusted method. So all you need to do is buy up the licenses, become the guy that does it, and then just keep doing it.
Yeah, I also think, like, Tops have, obviously, they did Road to the Euro's Finest, and we have Pristine on Friday, I believe, yeah?
Yep.
So it's not just the Euros, it's also the cards that go along with it. So if between now and Euro 2028, Tops can show UEFA and show the teams that they don't have the licenses for, the big four, that they'll be able to make not just the sticker albums, but a better range of cards and other merchandise opportunities than Panini would, you know, with Mosaic or Select or whatever. Then you're going to them and saying, listen, you can stay at Panini if you want, but Austria made, you know, six times the money from this deal that they did in 2020 or 2016.
Can I say, Yeah. Comparing stats to 2020 is going to be an absolute heaven send for Fanatics, because obviously you have that kind of big elephant in the room that it was actually COVID, et cetera, et cetera. So it's like, and the tournament didn't take place, et cetera, et cetera. So like the stats might look even better again.
Yeah.
In the board meetings, on the graphs, you know what I mean? On those, the statisticians will be working overtime.
Hmm. Well, so we have to see how it goes. There's definitely a way to spin it. If it gets kind of out of control and we have kind of like what happened in Argentina in 2020 with the, or 2022 with the World Cup stickers, there's some sort of meltdown. Obviously, then UEFA would have to look at it and say, you know, Panini has too much heritage. But I really don't see, I think the worst case scenario here for Topps and Fanatics is some short-term discomfort and taking some shit. But I don't see how it disrupts their plans for sticker domination long term.
That's it. They're gonna dominate. It's gonna happen. I was just thinking about that. That Messi fiasco pre World Cup when the stickers were coming out was actually insane, especially in the backdrop of him going on to win the tournament. What a moment that was. We'll never forget it, Jason.
We'll never forget it. As long as we live.
I was there. Not physically.
I was
there
when I was there when I read that newspaper story about Argentina during the World Cup. Ken Golden, our favorite auction
house personality,
has been nominated for a daytime Emmy.
Absolutely. Can I say, if anyone would have predicted that it was us early on in this show, we basically said put that man on TV, and then someone went and done it, and now it's winning awards.
The boffins at Netflix. So the daytime Emmys, I guess, are for the Emmys during the day. So if you meet someone with an Emmy and they say, I have an Emmy, and then you talk to them and you say, oh, what was it? And they say, oh, it's a daytime Emmy for King Collective. Apparently within the Emmy community, that's not quite as prestigious. But Yeah. So, and obviously his is on streaming, so it's not necessarily to be played during the play at any time, but they've entered it into the daytime Emmys. Would you like to know what he's nominated alongside?
Yes, please.
Right, so this is the 51st edition, of the daytime Emmys. It's going to be on CBS and Paramount Plus. And Ken is nominated in the Outstanding Arts and Popular Culture Program for King Collectibles with the Golden Touch, alongside Billion Dollar Babies, The True Story of the Cabbage Patch Kids on Vimeo.
That's one title, not two shows?
That's one title. Billion Dollar Babies, : The True Story of the Cabbage Patch Kids.
Okay. I thought that was two. You can see how I thought that was two.
Yeah, I can see that. Sundance TV are nominated for Off Script with The Hollywood Reporter.
Okay.
Max is nominated for Oprah and The Color Purple Journey. PBS is nominated for Variety Studio Actors on Actors, and AmericanTheaterWing.org are nominated for Working in the Theater. I think Ken's a shoo-in here.
Yeah, give it Ken. Give it Ken.
Give it Ken. Come on.
Give it to Ken. Come on. I need to see him.
He's very excited. He's nominated alongside Oprah, so he gets to talk to Oprah at the ceremony.
Yeah, listen. I Oprah's excited to talk to Ken, let me tell you.
Imagine that. If he'd gone on Oprah's own old show where they used to give away stuff, it's like, all right, everybody look under your seats. You get a Honus Wagner, and you get a Honus Wagner, and you get a Honus Wagner, and that's the total pop.
Yeah, wait for Ken to have a deal signed where you're getting some authentic Oprah Winfrey merchandise and other collectibles, memorabilia.
Yeah. I'd love to get a photo matched shirt of what she was wearing when Tom Cruise jumped up and down on the couch. On her show, or when Lance Armstrong admitted that he had been taking drugs for all those years in cycling and stuff like that.
Oh my God.
The Harry and Meghan interview.
Oh, give me all of the...
Game-worn boots.
Yeah, give me what's the type one photographs of those.
I thought we should probably just check in based on Ken's news. Just check in with some soccer auctions ongoing at Golden.
Okay, someday they need to pay us for this, Jason.
We'll send them our bill in the post.
Oh my goodness. Some nice soccer there, Jason.
Yeah, so this is the Golden 2024 April Elite. There is no soccer in the Golden 100, part one. But there is loads of soccer in the 2024 April Elite. Amazing stuff here.
The big thing here, Jason, is that World Cup prism Mbappe. The Go Power. That's the big one. Look at it. Because they don't just pop, they don't pop up. I think we had the story of one of them. I don't know if it's this one. I can double check that. But one of them was found in like a French album, wasn't it? Wasn't that one of those?
In a binder.
Yeah, someone flew. There was a huge deal done. So basically, those people that done that huge deal know how much they paid, and this is going to be either a rude awakening or they're going to. I mean, to be honest, I think they're going to be the ones that win this because you have to at that point. I think you can't. You know,
how do you mean?
Like, if you paid X amount for that back in the peak of COVID,
yeah,
you need to be the winner of this to control 2 of 5 of the population of a card that never, ever pops up. And to maintain integrity.
What you're saying.
Yeah. Unless this is the card. I don't know if it was 3 or 5. I don't think it was. I'm not sure. It's interesting. Interesting timing to sell it. 11 days time. PSG still in the Champions League.
Yeah.
So not a terrible time to sell. You obviously have the Euros coming up as well. Like, it's not an awful time to sell, I don't think. But it's just a card you just don't see. The 3 cards above that as well are incredible. The gold Messi from 2018. The rookie of 5, Haaland. The rookie that doesn't get a lot of love just because it's Champions League versus Bundesliga, which is interesting. Very fascinating part of the hobby. That's a sapphire. And that dual autograph, unbelievable. Yeah, that to be honest, that's such a beautiful card. Like, it's crazy. That card just doesn't get the love. It's the only one with the rookie logo because for whatever reason, in Champions League, Sapphire, they added the rookie logo, whereas they didn't have it in the exact same image of Chrome and obviously in Bundesliga as well. Very hard to know what that would go for because it's like a rookie card that has an asterisk next to it when it really shouldn't, you know?
Yeah. It's I don't know. It seemed like compared to players now, Haaland has so few rookie cards, and there's still confusion.
Yeah, it is very confusing.
Yeah. It's currently at $8,000 or $9,760 with the buyer's premium. Again, 11 days left.
It's a weird one. To be honest, it feels like the soccer market is not where it needs to be right now. There's also looking at a footballer Flash Super Factor we're overlooking, Jason. That's a case hit. It's an autograph rookie Haaland. That's mental. That's a mental card. Like that, but it's like again, it doesn't get the respect. It's not really, people want that Bundesliga. That Bundesliga card is a standalone for whatever reason. Like not even the finest really is up there.
Because they view that as, that is Haaland's rookie card. That is not a rookie card of Haaland. That is Haaland's rookie card.
That's exactly it. That's exactly it.
I think that's something that it's kind of hard to work out. I feel like in soccer, we got kind of thrown in as the deep end with like so many collections relatively soon after the kind of niche became popular. So it's hard to know. We don't really have that terminology of the rookie card. We usually say a rookie card.
Yeah.
Whereas I feel like in other sports, you much more definitively say, yes, that is, you know,
it's rookie.
Tom Brady's rookie card or whatever.
Yeah. And it's confusing because even in American sports, they have various sets, but then one thing does just take precedent as the rookie card. So in that case, we're in line with what happens. But it's bizarre. Like these are some really, really, really nice cards.
Yeah, I mean, even like then, just the fact that this is graded by Beckett at the time was completely reasonable.
Yeah.
And it's a 9.5 with a 10 autograph. Like, there's nothing wrong with it at all. It's an amazing purchase and a great card to grade and everything. But the idea that you could do that, you could get that card from Haaland at the time, you could grade it, you could have it, you could hold it for X, Y, you could do all this stuff in the meantime and then sell it and be slightly underwhelmed by the performance of it. Not that they will be necessarily, but... that's tough.
It's tough. Like, to be honest, looking at that Super Factor next to the Mbappe, one lot apart, 67 and 69. I don't know. It just feels like those are kind of two cards that would almost say. It's to be honest, that full line. If you look at the Pele, you add in the Pele. It's like those three cards. You could build an entire index on the soccer card market based on them.
Yeah,
on how they do. Yeah. But I have this kind of gnawing feeling that they're all going to be below what we expect them to be, I suppose. And I suppose this being kind of coinciding with the Golden 100 to a degree means a lot of the big American money and the kind of global money is looking at some incredible pieces in the 100 auction, especially part one, so you're getting ready for part two. So the funds might not necessarily be spewing into this, but they are some... I mean, they're Grail soccer cards, Jason. Let's call it what they are.
Yeah, no, they definitely are. Like it's sorry, I'm just looking here. You could build an index on that, but as we said, like it's just like the idea of indexing the stock card market when we're looking at Card Ladder or whoever it was, is so difficult because the growth has been so almost like there's been a soccer card sprawl. Like we could have built up, we could have kind of built, you know, giant apartment blocks and towers of like Pele and Haaland and Ronaldo and Messi and stuff. I just kept building their price further and further up. But instead what we did is we sprawled out. And so now the soccer market is much, much wider and there's a lot more money in it. But those bits in the middle haven't really felt that.
You know, I don't know. Like, to be honest, if you look at that Haaland of 5 Sapphire, it's like, that just doesn't pop up. Like, you don't see that for sale ever.
Yeah.
It's a grail card. Like, it is. But it's at the same time, there's something weird about it. Like, in fact, whenever I see those low numbered in person, the Champions League Haalands, I think they're class. I'm like, oh, fuck. I have a moment where I'm like, whoa. But like, yes. I'm not really even feeling much looking at this card. And it's an on 5 Sapphire rookie PSA 9. I'm not feeling it. I'm not feeling what I should be feeling. Is that just because this Bundesliga card is just so more iconic, you know, the image, whatever? I don't know.
I think it also comes down to the fact that, like, when we look at Messi or Ronaldo or Pele, like, the thing we have there is that it's just time, you know? Like, you're never going to look at Erling Haaland. Like, he's so young and he's been around for such a short time, relatively. Like, all you can ever really feel at this stage is that kind of like, oh, wow, that could really go up a lot. But the emotional connection to that player or to that, I guess, unless you're a Man City fan, but even then, you haven't had that much time. Like, I don't know. I think it's hard because we've seen Haaland come and boom, but we don't necessarily have the long kind of almost mythic attachment that we would have to the other players. Yeah. So, and that just takes loads and loads of time. And it's hard to just kind of, excitement is kind of a finite resource. At some point, the excitement has to turn into kind of, you know, amazement or nostalgia or something. I don't know, something else.
I understand. I understand. If you had to bid on one of these, Jace, if you had infinite money, which card are you looking at? Which one are you just buying? You had to keep it for 10 years. So we're not even saying long, long, long term, but you're keeping it 10 years with the intention of selling it for more money, unless it's absolute PC item, at which point you're keeping it forever.
Of these 6 cards?
Yeah.
So I'll just briefly run through them for the listeners. A 2018 World Cup Prism Gold Leo Messi signature. 2019 Red Haaland Sapphire Champions League. A 2022-23 Museum Dual Auto of Ronaldo, Cristiano and Messi.
That's a Pele.
That's a 101. Is that a green? Is that Emerald 101?
It is,
A 1958 Alifa Boleget Pele in a PSA 3. 2018 Gold Power Mbappe and 2019 Footballer Flash Autograph Super Factor for Erling Haaland. I'd probably just buy the Pele, to be honest.
The Pele?
Yeah.
I don't know how many are graded better than that, but I assume a good chunk, because it's obviously a 3. I feel like there is a lot. I don't know.
Yeah.
I click onto it to see. That's such a loser answer, Jason.
Yeah, well, he's Pele, isn't he?
That's it. You're saying, Enzo, don't overcomplicate it.
I'm saying Erling Haaland's not Pele.
Now, there's a Messi goal. Like, there's a lot of heritage in there.
Yeah, no, I know. Obviously, like, the Messi's, like, my second answer would be the Messi.
Yeah, okay. I mean, not really okay. I thought, because, like, a 2018 Messi. I mean, to be honest, that's such a good image with the captain's armband. I do love that one. Yeah, no.
We're not necessarily thinking what would sell for the most in 10 years. Just what would you be most sure of?
No, that's what I said. In 10 years, you're selling it and you want to sell it.
Exactly, but it's not the one of those 6 that will be that would sell in 10 years for the absolute most.
I mean, I would like that to be it. You know, I want that. Like, you're completely just being a shark. Like, you're not. It's you're removing your emotion.
Yeah, but based on what it's going to sell for now and what it's going to sell for as the biggest percentage increase, I'm going Pele.
Oh. Okay. I accept it. I'd probably go, and I, listen, this is blasphemy, I suppose. Like I look at the Haaland 101 Super Factor autograph and I say to myself, you crack that, you get a PSA 10. It's the only thing there that's a PSA 10. Except for is the dual autograph. Dual autograph's a 10. But the dual autograph is great and wonderful, amazing, but it doesn't really do anything for me because it wasn't made at the time. This can be made every year, so I don't really care about that.
Same.
Pelé, without checking the pop, I assume there's higher populated Pelés. But yeah, it's the safest bet, I would say, on there because obviously completely and utterly cemented. And it's the rookie card. Whereas like Messi is not a rookie card, even though he's totally cemented as well. I don't know. I can't even answer my own question, Jason, but there you go. I'm going to keep an eye on all those six, see what they end at, and I'm going to write them down in my little journal. And in 10 years' time, on episode 5 million of this podcast, I'll tell you were wrong.
Do you want to know the pops on the 1958 Pelé?
Please.
All right. So the pop 10 is 0. The pop 9 is 6. The pop 8 is 5. The pop 7 is 6. The pop 6 is 8. The pop 5 is 11. The pop 4 is 11. The pop 3 is 12. The pop 2 is 22. And the pop 1 is 24.
Wow. So without even looking at the pop prior, you made an unbelievable call. Yeah. There's not a lot. There's not as much as I thought.
No.
There is, in fact, where's my number? There is only 63 higher. So there's less than, like, if you include the population of all the other three, there's less than 100 of these Pelés in this grade or higher. Less than 80, I think. And you'd imagine the demand globally as the hobby goes boom for Pelé rookie cards is going to be significantly more than it is today. Is that what you're telling me?
I suppose that's my analysis, yeah.
Right. We should put you on TV, Jason. You'll win it. You could win a daytime Emmy. You could win more than that, let me tell you.
Right, let's just briefly then move on to work through some football stories. I want to start with in youth football, where Olympiakos won their first European title, won the first European title for any Greek club in the UEFA Youth League final. I'm not talking about the senior team of Milan. I'm talking about the junior team. I had to pick one.
Okay.
And I know you don't want to talk about the other one, so I have to pick this one. So yeah, a three-goal spree in 6 minutes, second half, lifted Olympiakos to a first European title for Greek clubs on Monday after beating AC Milan 3-0 in the UEFA Youth League final. The senior Olympiakos team can make it 2 in the Europa Conference League. Anyway, it's a triumph for owner Evangelos Marinakis one day after his relegation-threatened club in England, Nottingham Forest, challenged the integrity of a video review match official in a Premier League game. So what a weekend for Marinakis.
Unbelievable.
Taking over the Nottingham Forest Twitter account on whatever it was, Saturday or Sunday, and then winning the UEFA Youth League.
Unbelievable.
Brilliant.
Yeah, what a week for Milan, but we won't get into that.
No. A tough week. Yeah, I think that's great. And I wonder, kind of knowing the answer, where do all these guys who were on this, all these kids that were on this team, where do they go from here? Are we going to be hearing about Christos Mouzoukidis or Antonios Papkanellos or Theofanis Bakoulis over the next years? Maybe so. Maybe tops are going to come out with an Olympiakos Bowman Chrome or something.
I hope not.
Hope not.
I really hope not.
And so if I said to you right now, if tops came to you and they said, Enzo, listen, we have a big decision to make. We just can't make it. We need a tiebreaker. Do we do a UEFA Youth League Bowman or not? What do you say?
You do it. I'd take a UEFA Youth League Bowman over any more team licenses being bought. For sure. Team licenses are tough. And like, if you do a team license, sign a 1-year deal with the team. Don't sign a fucking 7-year deal. Give us the same set every year. Like, that's been tough.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be chasing Olympiakos in case breaks or anything like that, to be honest.
No.
The big one, little throwaway for some of our listeners here. Someone reached out to me last time and said, Enzo, is that player, can you tell me how to spell his name and does he have a rookie card? That was Simone Pafundi.
Yes.
Who has actually appeared. He's playing in the Swiss League. He's scoring loads of goals. He's a good player. He's an Italian youth. He's a hope. I'm not saying invest. Do not invest. I'm not saying that. but he's an exciting little player for Italy, soon to be for Italy, shall I say. And he did pop up because he began his young career at Udinese, who is now going to be taken over by Fabio Cannavaro as he attempts to save them from the grasps of Frosinone, throwing them into the relegation zone, which will happen on the final day of the season, Jason, as we escape, make our great escape. But yeah, Pafundi shows up in a Serie A score. He could show up in Select, which is more so what I'm telling people about. But yeah, the Italians have been opening up Serie A score, have been hitting Pafundi's Serie A score this year. Parallels, I think you get four numbered in a box, and they're all numbered to 50 or lower. So it's not, I don't know if the print run's big or not, but the parallels are not big. 50 is the highest parallel in Serie A score, which is pretty cool. But cautionary tale, if you're running to buy some low number Pafundi, getting excited about it, you must understand people in Italy, if they're based in Italy, a lot of them do not ship with top loaders or sleeves. In fact, most of them don't ship outside of Italy. But yeah, here I see some of 30 orange swirls. I see a case hit. I see a gold of 35, and I see a blue laser of 50. He's a fun player. I would wait for Select. If he doesn't appear in Select, these could be really cool rookie cards. But yeah, that's the one thing. Here we go, Jason. As with all cards, there is an asterisk associated because he had a Panini Instant in 2021, which is technically his rookie card as well. But people don't, like, I mean, look at Julian Alvarez, Jason. People don't care.
I know.
But it is.
Look at Erling Haaland's tops now from the same season.
Yeah. But like, nobody that was cares. The same season.
I suppose. True.
But like, yeah, I mean, listen, that being 2 years earlier should give us some form of precedence, but what was Julian Alvarez was like, how many years earlier? The same?
The same, yeah. 457 of these printed.
Yeah. Listen, I like the parallels. I've got to a point where I just ignore. I love that that's actually an action shot, whereas his score is a kind of headshot because he obviously never played for Udinese, I don't think, this year. But yeah, look, just something for some people out there. If you have an Italian connect and you're willing to have cards shipped to you without top loaders or sleeves, could be worth trying. Yeah, imagine that. No top loader, no sleeve, and you're trying to grade a scorecard. Like, what a disaster that is. The population will be low, rough. People.
Did you say somebody asked you how to spell it?
Say again?
Did you say somebody asked you how to spell it?
Yep.
How to spell Pafundi? Did you want to tell the listeners?
P for panda, A for apple, F for flamingo, U for United Nations, N for, I don't know what begins with N, Jason. Can you chip in here?
No.
N for no. Very good. D for
dinosaur.
D for dinosaur or dynasty. And I for Inter Milan Merda. So there you go.
Pafundi. Very good.
Or Pafundi, maybe some people might call him. But yeah, there you go. I wouldn't recommend buying them. This is not financial advice.
Using them as an example to tell us some interesting things about the state of Italian collecting.
Yeah, I'm saying genuinely, if you buy it and someone ships it to you between two pieces of cereal boxes that they cut up and there's not a sleeve or a top loader in it and it's a one of one, don't leave negative feedback because, to be honest, that's just how they're living out there.
Okay, good to know. Couple of quick things. One, we are going to have all Manchester FA Cup semi-final. Did I see a stat somewhere that said the last time there were the same two teams 2 years back to back in the FA Cup semi-final was 1894? Maybe. Wow. I saw that stat. Or maybe that stat's not true, but anyway, that's what I heard. So yeah, after Manchester United squeaked past Coventry City and Manchester City, poor old Manchester City, been forced to play so many games. They did their best. They crawled over the line against Chelsea. So we're going to have a Manchester derby in the FA Cup final.
Yeah, talking about crawling over the line, by the way.
Yeah. Bayer Leverkusen protected their unbeaten record with a 97-minute goal from Josef Stanisic.
Crazy.
After Niklas Füllkrug took Dortmund 1-0 up, and everyone thought, that's Leverkusen done. But no.
No, 97-minute. It's like this late into the season, 97-minute league title wrapped up. Like, it's just a sickening desire to be unbeaten. I really don't know how to talk about it. But shout out to Florian Wirtz, Jason. He's had quite the spurt of sales as a result of people remembering who he was.
I honestly cannot believe that Florian Wirtz has come back from his injury and had the season he's had. I kind of thought when he got that injury, I was like, oh, well, that was nice.
Yeah.
But this is probably the end of it. But no, not at all.
A forgotten man in the Jude class. He was Jude class, wasn't he?
Yeah, well, yeah. He has...
His Bundesliga and he has a, oh, he has a tops now, doesn't he?
He has a tops now. Speaking of Smarty Profundi, yeah. He has a tops now from the year before.
Yeah,
from the season before. Which, again, nobody really...
No one cares, yeah.
I'm concerned about. And then just to give a shout out to El Clasico, which was a great game for the hobby.
Oh!
Fermín López, rookie, scored for Barcelona, one of their two goals. But Jude Bellingham had his name in lights once again. First man to score in both Clasicos for Real Madrid in the same season since Cristiano Ronaldo did it 9 years ago. So,
what a time to score, what a way to score. Let's not forget Lamine Yamal playing amazing as well.
Yes.
Unbelievable, yeah. Oh, like Jude is just that guy for whatever reason. That's a funny. We're gonna have to start talking about the Ballon d'Or, Jason, because it's not necessarily that Jude Bellingham has been so incredibly amazing, but it's that there hasn't been an incredible, amazing season really from anyone. Obviously, to the level of Messi, Ronaldo, as we've seen in the past. So it's like these are the kind of seasons that will win you a Ballon d'Or from now on. Pretty much, it feels like.
Yeah.
So,
and we saw just even in terms of consistency, we saw Erling Haaland. A lot of people said he should have won the Ballon d'Or last season, and it was like, well, he'd have other chances. But the reason we think that players have more than one chance to win a Ballon d'Or is because of Messi and Ronaldo, and to a lesser extent, other people as well. But like, it's not usual. Like, it's kind of like
it's not usual at all. Goes right.
It's every season.
Yeah, I think there's like, I think what's his name? Pavel Nedved won a Ballon d'Or, and is like, it might have been like 8 goals, 10 assists was his stats for the season back in the day. And obviously because he had such a big contribution, and it was more about his all-around game, not all about stats and expected goals, etc. But it's like, and Haaland's not having a terrible season. He's obviously completely fallen off towards the end of it. I think he's still top scorer in the Premier League, or he's up there. But yeah, it just feels like if they win the Champions League, they win the league title. And Jude has a few more kind of exceptional moments. I think he'll be a shoe-in.
At the age of 19?
Yeah.
Incredible. Jesus. Incredible stuff.
Imagine the story. But then again, we see Michael Owen. Like, don't be getting too excited.
Yes. He's been playing with the strap on his shoulder since Christmas.
That's it. It's like, that's the consistency. It's like, yeah, he might actually have an incredible winning of a Ballon d'Or. And then by the time he's 25, he might be in a wheelchair because he's played 20 games, etc., etc., etc. Now, he's been managed relatively well. But yeah, that's the thing. You never really... It's hard to do a long-term prospect even with someone as amazing as Jude. Who? Did you see, Jason? Speaking of hobby, speaking of Jude, someone just sold a one-of-one Super Factor autograph of his image variation from Stadium Club on eBay.
I didn't.
It was on auction. It ended at $25,000.
Woof.
Now, that's one I look at that and I go, was that a buy? Like, and obviously, it's a very, very expensive buy if it is a buy.
Buy if it was, yeah.
But good time to sell it, I suppose.
Good time to sell. Definitely good time to sell, yeah.
There you go.
Right. Well, listen, we're back on Thursday. Hope everyone has a really great week. If there's any particular topics you'd like us to cover, write in. We'll see if we can fit them in on Thursday.
It feels a little bit slow as we're getting towards business end. But who knows what's going to happen in this, 2 days?
2 days. 2 days is a long time in the hobby.
All right.
Okay. Have a good week.
See you, Jason.